Exclusive radio.
Jay wound up winning, and I got so mad at him that we got into a scuffle in the hallway. And I flipped you, grabbed me from behind, and you were like jokingly choking me, but I was a little upset. Because our game literally came down to the wire, and yeah. I think you hit one of those like underhanded like
the layup things,
and it went in, and you won. And I grabbed you by the arm, and I flipped you over my shoulder, and it was like Seinfeld. I was in the pool because you were like
I said the socks. Right, I blamed the socks.
You played because you were in socks that I beat you up, and I was like, but I'm in slippers. Literally, the key word to slippers is.
But you had traction on the bottom of those slippers.
Welcome to Super Movie Brothers. Let's start the show.
You don't want to do this.
Yeah, we do.
Welcome to Super Movie Brothers. I'm your host, Super Movie Brother Dave.
I'm your host, Super Movie Brother Jay.
And we are here to discuss the final two episodes, episodes 5 and 6.
Oh, and the series as a whole.
And the series as a whole.
Sure.
Of The Falcon and The Winter Soldier. So this is obviously me and Jay have talked previously in the past. We've done two episodes and then we waited and then do two more episodes. Now we're at the final two episodes. And... this is the series, I think, so far from the MCU, even though we've only gotten two of them, that me and Jay were both like, this is our MCU. This is what we've been looking forward to. Even though we're liking what we see for Loki, I think this is still more up my alley, Captain America, my favorite character. So I love the legacy of Captain America they've sprinkled throughout the series.
There's a lot to chew on with this. Yeah.
There is. But this episode, episode 5, is picking up where episode 4 left off. Episode 4 left off with... I'm going to say this now. Spoilers for the series at this point. So if you're not caught up, here's your spoiler warning.
Spoiler warning. Spoiler warning. Spoiler warning.
So this is picking up right after John Walker has just smashed the skull of one of the flag smashers, ironically enough.
Iconically showing off the blood on the shield. It was wild.
So that was one of the things that like really, really got to me. So like he smashes the skull of Nico, one of the flag smashers, and he is... he's the one that, like, in the last episode was, like, you know, talked about how his grandfather fought with freedom fighters in World War II and stuff like that and was a fan of Captain America. So he understood Captain America, what Captain America represented, and only for now the modern version of Captain America to smash his skull in front of a very public audience. And I think for Bucky and Sam to see the shield sullied with the blood of essentially an innocent, at least a man who was beaten, there no reason to kill him at that point. You could have just captured him, was something that set them off. And they chase down John Walker. And that's where episode 4 ends.
Yeah.
And we pick up with them cornering John Walker in that facility where they had previously tried to capture Carly Morgenthau. And it's an all-out brawl at this point. The battle for the shield, I think, is what you would call
kind
it
of
the MCU.
Essentially was, yeah.
But a metaphorical battle as well as a physical battle to take Cap's legacy, Steve's legacy, away from this murderer. This man who stepped over the line, crossed the line that Steve would never cross, sullied the shield. So they're both trying to, you know, they're trying to save Cap's legacy at this point. And they're also trying to, I mean, Sam is still trying to save John as well. He's trying to convince him to turn himself in.
Exactly. And you know, Sam's history with vets and you know, being in the military, he understands and empathizes with him. But also what that took, you know, from Steve Rogers, you know, as far as like the pressure, the severity of that honor of holding the shield. And Bucky, you know, he does to some degree, but he has so many demons that he's wrestling with right now where he doesn't understand the wide scope of that, like what Sam does.
It's a great fight. that echoes a lot.
It's a good fight. It's a really good fight. Actually, it was a lot of fun.
It echoes a lot of the Bucky and Cap versus Iron Man from Civil War.
Most certainly does.
But they're all battling over the Shield, and
which is better, by the way.
That fight was better.
Come on, yeah.
That fight was better. But this fight, it's still solid. It's still a solid fight. And it's really believable that
it's got a haunting ending too, which is I thought appropriate
with Bucky and Sam not going for broke. They don't want to kill this man.
Sure.
However, John Walker is prepared to kill both of them, and that becomes the crux of the fight. That becomes the problem with it. Also, they did a great job with taking Bucky out of the equation for a while with his arm glitching out and stuff like that. That takes him out of the equation so that Sam can have a one-on-one with John Walker and stuff like that to show that Sam is capable, even without the super soldier serum, to hold his own against a super-powered individual.
Well put.
Is important to show if we're going to make this guy Captain America going forward.
Yes.
And the way they defeat him is great. Like, I love the idea of both of them holding him down, the super soldier holding on to the shield, and we know how powerful the grip of a super soldier is because we saw Cap hold a helicopter from taking off, and we saw his beautiful biceps glistening as he's doing it in Civil War.
That tight t-shirt.
We don't get to see John Walker's glistening biceps here. We save that sex. We save that for Steve. Only Chris Evans gets that. But they wind up breaking the arm of John Walker to eventually get the shield from him, and they leave him there essentially. I guess he's collected by the United States government. Sam's wings are broken. John Walker rips his wings off, and Torres, who we talked about previously, is someone who in the comic books went on to replace the Falcon and become the Falcon number two essentially. Torres, like, as he's walking away with the shield, is just like, don't you want the wings? And he's like, nah, man, keep them.
Yeah, keep it was them. A cool little nice Easter egg. Yeah, it was a nice little nod. I liked it.
Nice little nod. It's almost like when James Rhodes in Iron Man 1 looked at the unfinished Iron Man armor and went, next time, baby. Torres, next time, baby.
Next time, baby.
He'll be wearing the Falcon wings. In whatever
and
form.
And just like Terrence... Won't ever happen.
We don't know that because
you never know.
We don't know whether we're getting a sequel to this series, but what we do know, what an announcement that came out this week, since we're not doing news this week, we'll talk about it here, is that there is a Captain America 4 confirmed by Disney and the MCU to be coming and to be starring Anthony Mackie in the role of Captain America after the success of this show. So we may get to see Torres as a Falcon.
Okay.
So that's something. But this is right after that fight, which kind of takes up the first like 20 minutes of the episode. This is where we pull the brakes on the series. We're not going to advance the story anymore. We know that Carly is building her masses. She's rebuilding her quote unquote army. And she is speaking to the power broker, and the power broker, who we don't know who it is, lends her Bartrock the Leaper, played by George St. Pierre, and he kind of shows up with all these weapons, and they're going to be attacking the GRC, who are the faceless organization who is responsible for causing all the strife that the Flag Smashers see. They're keeping people inside of internment camps, essentially. They're the ones that are rebuilding borders, kicking people out of homes that they took over during the blip. And it's all as a result of all these people returning and stuff like that. And the GRC are just bureaucratic pencil pushers.
Exactly. And I think one of the downfalls of the power severity of them was the lack of development with them, the lack of time with them.
Right. Towards the end of this episode, we get to see the bureaucratic bullshit of the GRC in action, in the same way that we saw the Sokovia Accords and their bureaucratic bullshit going on in Civil War. But at least in that, there was an understanding of where that was coming from. Here, the GRC, it's literally been three fucking consonants the entire time. GRC. I never got to see anything from them whatsoever until the very end of this episode, where they're kind of making cold, uncalculated decisions about how to reissue borders and stuff like that. And while I think that the storyline for that is first off, it's very well steeped in our current in history. Like,
oh yeah,
because that's what we've done with the continent of Africa for years. You know, like this Western country runs this border, that one runs this border. You know, you got Hungary, you got the UK, you got Spain, you got all these other countries that came into Africa, cut it up into these different borders that previously hadn't existed, and caused the strife that it has. So that's what the GRC are doing. However, they didn't take the time to explain that to us. So if you're not a history buff, or you're not someone who can really wrap your head around the geopolitical climate of this world, then the GRC is just a name, and we just know that they're not bad, but they're not exactly looking out for the best interest of people as a whole.
Right, right.
So that is a big downfall for the series. I agree with you there. But where we really get to slow down is Bucky and Sam just coming together and sitting and kind of talking, discussing
a great chunk period of time of them just really talking and getting into things.
And we get to follow back up with Sam and his sister and what's going on with the boat.
It was a lot of fun, and a lot of loose ends that needed to get tidied up, and I think a little bit of
just imagine being
of honor.
Sam.
Like he needed to do it.
Yeah, just imagine being Sam. There's two legacies Sam is trying to uphold in this movie: the legacy of his parents and their fishing business, and that of the neighborhood that he's from in Louisiana, but also to uphold that legacy of Steve and Captain America, but also uphold the black legacy as well. You know, he's met Isaiah at this point, and he's seen what the American government can do to a black man, how they can disembowel him, how they can treat him and stuff like that. And that's what's made him mainly trepidatious. So he's taken some time back in Louisiana, and he talks with Bucky. And Bucky tells him that, like, and I love this scene where it's like, I don't think me and Steve really knew the ramifications of choosing a black man as Captain America. Because how could they, right? How could they? If they don't think like that, if they don't think like Sam, or they don't think like a racist person, then they're also incapable of putting themselves in Sam's shoes.
Mm-hmm.
There's an ignorance that comes with that. Mm-hmm. And I do like that they address that and that's something I think we can all relate to in our society, as we can all say that Black Lives Matter, but at the same time, when you and I say it, we're standing there and we're saying we support them, but we can't say that we understand them. We can't say that we can put ourselves in their shoes. We can't say that their struggles are struggle. We can only aid in a fight and be quiet so that their voices can be heard. And that's it. That's all we can really do.
I agree.
And I think that's what Bucky was trying to get across in his speech.
Yeah. And I think he, you know, and like you just said, and like he just said, it's just not, you know, it wasn't on their radar. They didn't understand it. And it's not so much ignorance. It's more or less, you know, maybe back then, maybe it was because they didn't know any better. They didn't know the power of that and the ramifications of that still.
There is a moment that I do love in this, and it's when Bucky's kind of using his strength to help put the boat back together and stuff like that. And there's a moment where a pipe bursts and it's hot. You know, and he goes up and he tries to first work it with a wrench, and then he grabs it with his metal hand and turns it, and it finally goes off. And Sam goes, "Why don't you just use the metal hand from the get-go?" And he's like, "Sometimes I forget I have it. I'm right-handed."
Yeah. I love that.
But it's a little... It's a nice little thing that like goes in there. Like, sometimes I forget I have it.
Lots of character detail. Yeah, I mean, it's so... This is the one... One of the main things that I got from this was the character development between Bucky and Sam. I needed it.
Previously,
and I wanted it. And
previously,
I think,
hated each other, right? At least that's what they've told each other.
Well,
I think there was a respect for each other.
It was a mutual...
Not a love.
Fighting for Steve's attention and love.
But by the end of the series, they're me and you.
Yeah.
They're buddies.
No, they are. No,
they're bros, man.
And I think that was always inevitable. And I think that's so why so many people immediately saw that chemistry.
Yeah.
And even off camera, you know, as actors, you know, Anthony Mackie and Sebastian Stan are really good buddies. And they really get together and have a good time. They know how to rib on each other. And I you see that. You just see that chemistry go through into these characters. But I loved how much detail and time that they put into, and real thought, like actual real gravity and levity within these characters throughout this,
I think so too,
this actual series. But 100% my favorite part of the series is that.
I know. We talked about it when we talked about episode one where people were like, oh, it was so slow and stuff like that. But I liked it. I liked delving into
it. I needed it. I think this is the phase that they're going to do that with.
And this
I want that.
And this is the episode where they're trying to wrap up Sam's arc before we go into episode six. And we will get Bucky's wrap up of his quote-unquote arc, which I think is a weaker arc, but also...
They lost traction with that arc.
Let's face it. With six episodes, we are telling the story of how Sam becomes Captain America. We're not so much telling the story about how Bucky redeems himself, or how Bucky makes amends.
Sure.
It's a side plot,
and that's a foggy.
It's a side
topic anyway.
It is.
So it's one of those situations where it's not a light switch. You can't just turn it off.
So after discussing everything with Bucky and stuff like that, Sam goes back and talks to Isaiah again, and. At this point, he's kind of realizing that Isaiah is a black man from a different age. And maybe at the time, he wasn't ready to represent what Captain America should represent to a company or to a country. But maybe it's time for him to be. And being emboldened by what everything that Bucky had told him, he starts training with the Shield. I love them having that conversation that we talked about where Bucky kind of re-emboldens them and they kind of get down to the brass tacks of the legacy of the Shield, but also the legacy of what it would mean for a black man to hold the Shield. They're having a catch back and forth. And one of the little details that I love is as the Shield is bouncing off of trees, it comes back, Bucky catches it effortlessly. It's all arm and into his arm, and then he passes it off to Sam. When Sam catches it, it's all body. He has to take the weight of the Shield into himself and with his whole body, rotate the hips, rotate the shoulders, and he has to catch it that way because he's not a super soldier.
Yeah, he's human.
But also, it also adds to the weight of the Shield that Sam feels because, again, he has to uphold the legacy of Captain America and also uphold being a black American holding the Captain America Shield. It's double weighted for him.
And he knows that he is a good candidate, but he also understands the levity of, like, I need to be able to perform
right
to not be a joke with the Shield.
Causes the training now.
Exactly. And the Rocky montage.
Like, I love that.
I love
that. But he also looks at his nephews, and they're good. Like, you going for another run? He's like, all day, baby, all day. And I'm like, I can do this all day.
Yeah.
I love the little nod.
Those little nods.
It's kind of cheesy.
Not really. I think it's perfect. I think it's perfect. I think it's fitting.
And if you notice all the time that he is, every time he is standing with Bucky, he's on Bucky's left. Oh, I'm sorry. Bucky's on his left. Bucky's always to his left. So now Bucky's the one that's on his left. Which is one of the things that I liked in the series. It's a little nod, and you only watch
it. It's a good little pickup.
Yeah, yeah. Ultimately, it ends with now him with the training montage and stuff like that, Anthony Mackie getting into, quote-unquote, better shape, getting into... I mean, we see him doing some true acrobatics. Like, he's doing flips. He looks like a super soldier. Right?
I know. He's really... getting himself into, I would say,
and we needed this for it to be believable for him to operate without the wings, for us to watch him go up against.
He's essentially got himself up to John Walker status,
right?
Before, you know, he took the serum, obviously, but like he was the peak, you know,
peak physical human condition
for humans,
yeah,
that could warrant the Shield.
Yeah, he's an Olympic athlete now.
Pretty much.
So, but we needed that training montage to understand that. So that way, when we get to episode six.
And they're always fun to watch.
We're not questioning it. But this episode ends with the attack of the Flag Smashers on the GRC. It's very highly publicized, and all the major news outlets are picking it up. And Sam sees it from Louisiana. He's been left a mysterious box by Bucky, and he hasn't opened it yet. But we all know what's in the box. And it's not Marcellus Wallace's soul, right? It's not... he opens it up and the episode ends. We don't even get to see it, but we know that he's going to rescue the GRC in New York from the Flag Smashers. And when we know that when he returns, he's going to be looking completely different. He's going to be looking bad fucking ass. And it's a gift from the Wakandans, which anything that comes from Wakandan means it's going to be vibranium and it's going to be fucking sick. So episode six doesn't like leave you hanging. It literally starts off with the attack on the GRC and...
Oh, they get right into it.
Sam shows up, and we see him flying in with new Falcon wings, but we don't see what he looks like quite yet. And we know that on the ground is Bucky and Sharon Carter, who Emily Van Camp, who has now come back to the States, and she's wearing one of those netted like face changers, mm-hmm. the Mission Impossible face changer mask and stuff that previously Black Widow wore in Winter Soldier. And they are there to stop the Flag Smashers. They're going to infiltrate the GRC building and take them out. And one of the things I really liked in this episode was, as Bucky is going into the building, one of the police officers, one of the SWAT team that's outside, greets him as Sergeant Barnes and kind of like gives him a little like head nod, Sergeant Barnes. There are people out there who know who Bucky is and kind of respect him in that way. Because even though he's not part of the military anymore, he's still getting respect.
He still has the history all these years
of Sergeant Barnes.
And as Sergeant Barnes.
That guy went to the Smithsonian and saw the Captain America. because he calls him Sergeant Barnes. He doesn't call him the Winter Soldier. He doesn't call him White Wolf, all the other names we've heard for Bucky throughout the series. He calls him Sergeant Barnes. And I thought that was the first time you heard, probably
since the first Captain America.
Right.
It was really nice.
It was very nice. Then they go in, and Emily Van Camp follows off with one guy who's taking the rest of the GRC, putting them in vans and stuff like that, and she takes him out in bloody fucking fashion.
Brutal.
She blows a gas bomb up in his fucking van, which is fucking nasty.
Yeah. She was brutal.
Which also goes into leading into what we find out towards the end of it.
And a potential season two, I think, right. A lot more too. I think she'll have a lot more.
Also, what we all saw coming, I think. I think that's my big downside to this series, is a lot of these story beats we all saw coming. We all saw John Walker's.
John Walker's turn coming. Just shoehorned in.
It is.
In a lot of ways.
We knew that Emily Van Camp was not who she said she was. We knew that by all the scenes where she wasn't with Bucky and Sam, we knew that there was something more nefarious going on with her, and we all assumed that she was that she was the power broker. When we get to the end of this episode, all the stuff that we thought was going to happen does fucking happen. One of the things that we didn't talk about in episode 5 that I do want to talk about real quick is the U.S. government, the Defense Department, disembowels John Walker as Captain America. So we should talk about that before we get into the rest of episode 6. And in that speech, in that military tribunal, while he is not dishonorably discharged, he is relieved of his duty. And he kind of tells them all, like, this is what you made me. I did what you asked me to do.
Yeah.
I became what you made me. And that is what a Defense Department led Captain America would be. He's a weapon.
It 100% would be.
He's a weapon, and he's a hammer, and to a hammer everything is a fucking nail.
And I think a lot of former military people feel that way as well sometimes,
and that's
depending on their situation or, you know,
and that's also
what happened with them.
That's also where we meet Julia Louis-Dreyfus's Valentina Allegra de Fontaine, who in the comic books was both a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent and a Hydra agent, a double agent, possibly even a triple agent, because she was a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. She was a Hydra agent. So she was a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent infiltrating Hydra, who was spying on S.H.I.E.L.D. for Hydra, but then also spying on Hydra for S.H.I.E.L.D. So I think that makes her a triple agent. And she was also known as Madam Hydra. But that was only one arc of the comic books that she was actually Madam Hydra and a bad guy.
Which makes a lot of sense.
But
she pulls it off.
She's obviously, I don't know whether she's involved with Nick Fury, but she's shoehorned in. Right.
It makes you very excited, and it sets up John Walker for the next season.
They
teed up a lot of bullshit for season 2.
Or at least for the future of the MCU.
Or future movie.
She's saying things that make you realize that she knows more than she's letting on, but also we're not in the know enough. But I think we're going to see more of DeFontaine going forward in things like Secret Invasion, or possibly a Dark Avengers or a Thunderbolts type thing, which we'll get into towards the end.
Yep.
But so at this point now, in the story, after Emily Van Camp takes out that guy, the vans go off and they're taking the GRC members, and they're leading them to a choke point where the Flag Smashers are going to kill them. Sam tries to get into the GRC, and he has to fight George St. Pierre's Bartrock the Leaper. And one of the things that I like is he holds his own against Bartrock in this fight, and it's a fine fight. It's fine. But he doesn't defeat him. He instead just pushes him to the side enough that Sam can get away to go save the rest of the GRC. And now we're treated to essentially 20 minutes of action to see how Sam operates as Captain America with both vibranium wings, which can deflect a helicopter crash down on top of him, but also using the shield on top of that, as well as a new Red Wing. We lost Red Wing in episode 2, but now
sure.
Red Wing is back trifold. There's 3 Red Wings now that he can pop out and spit, and he uses them in the same way that, that Tony Stark used those jet drones that he used in Spider-Man Homecoming when he put the ship back together and stuff like that. We'll see him later on use it to kind of catch that van. So he's essentially fighting the helicopter, and he's off doing all that stuff. Meanwhile, Bucky and Emily Van Camp Carter are taking on the GRC. And this is the moment now where Bucky's trying to fight the GRC as they're in the alleyway. And they are going to cause a distraction. Carly Morgenthau tells them that it doesn't matter whether the GRC dies, lives, or we make an example of them. Like, we're already going to be remembered for what we did. Our message is already out there. So create a distraction to stop Bucky from stopping us. And Bucky has to go try to save the GRC from the van as he's trying to break the lock. And it kind of looks like all hope is lost because it's Bucky against like 4 or 5 different super soldiers.
Yeah.
And then John Walker shows up with his, you know, homemade... Because we saw the after credit scene,
old school, yeah,
with his riveted and welded together shield that has a completely different sound, like
the bends and everything, well, dents in and everything that you see later on after that. But
and he comes in to save the day, but he's still a rage filled monster. He is only looking to kill Carly Morgenthau.
He has a lot of confliction. I know, and I think I would like to see more from him.
Yeah,
and. To really dive into that.
Well, there was a moment that I liked when all the Flag Smashers are smashing down on him with the shield, and he looks at the Medal of Honor that he's welded to the inside of his shield, and he kind of starts beating them back, and that GRC van is hovering over, falling down into the pit where Bucky and another Flag Smasher are duking it out, and he has the chance to go after Carly as she's running away. But like he looks at that Medal of Honor, and he didn't win that Medal of Honor by killing a man, right? But by killing people. He won that Medal of Honor by saving people. That's generally how you win a Medal of Honor, a Medal of Valor.
Usually.
So in that moment, he decided to be the hero and not be the vengeance, or not be the one who wins the day. He goes after the people. He fails in saving them, but the intention was still there.
Yes.
And ultimately, the better version of Captain America shows up and saves those people anyway. Yes. And without super soldier serum.
Correct. And it was a great sequence. It was a great, you know, character sequence for an action set piece. And how, you know, the rat-a-tat happened and the back and forth. And I thought it worked pretty effectively character wise.
It's after this that Bucky kind of like taps John Walker on the shoulder towards the end of the episode after all the action's done. I think it was too fast of a turnaround for John Walker as
way
a character.
Way too fast. Because after that, the remaining of the episode of scenes with him, it's all like he's like Mr. Hero. It just they were trying to humanize him too much.
All that bottled up rage is gone.
Way too
very
quick.
Quickly.
Because the previous 5 episodes, you're seeing him.
But
you know,
they make sure that they show Sam and Bucky accepting him, so that way, as an audience, we know it's okay to accept them. So they really did try to shoehorn it in. They did a nice job of shoehorning it in, but it still doesn't fit quite right. It's not tied up neatly.
And I guess you can say it's a little bit of like a Bucky thing where, you know, he still is tormented and has like a little bit of that Winter Soldier-esque thing inside of him.
Yeah, for sure.
I guess you can say John Walker has a version of that in him still that he's trying to contend with. He's got darkness that he needs to address.
Yeah, for sure.
And I hope they don't just let that go.
No,
like, I hope it's just not a clean slate out of the blue.
I don't think it will be
going forward.
I don't think it will be. I think there's a dark future for John Walker.
Yeah.
And they spell that out in the end with his new costume when we get to that. From there, you know, now it is just Carly Morgenthau Flag Smasher left. And so she's being chased down by Emily Van Camp's Sharon Carter and by Falcon himself. Now I should stop referring to him as Falcon, as Sam. He is Captain America. So she's being chased down by Captain America and Emily Van Camp's Sharon Carter. And she corners her and Bartrock the Leaper shows up. And the only thing Bartrock the Leaper, the whole reason he was involved in this was to kill Sam, was to kill the new Captain America. And it's this moment where Emily Van Camp kind of puts all of her cards out on the table in front of Carly and kind of tells her like that she is the power broker and she needs Carly Morgenthau and they can do well together. Her and her Flag Smashers can come back to Madripoor, be her muscle. They can rule together. And maybe down the line, we'll get to some of your agenda, Carly, but like, this is your only way out. I can help you survive. Carly obviously is far too gone into her own agenda to even buy into that. And this is where Bartrock the Leaper catches a bullet, presumably to the head, even though they don't show a dead body. And Carly Morgenthau gets shot in the stomach and Sam carries her limp dead body out. Although Sam did not hear that previous conversation, so he does not know that Sharon Carter is the power broker.
Correct.
He delivers Carly Morgenthau's body to the authorities. She's dead. And he has a very public speech,
very big monologue
with the GRC. Sam has two moments in this series where he is affirmed as Captain America. One on the bridge where everybody's cheering for him, and then he quickly flies off, which reminded me a lot of Spider-Man, where he's fighting Green Goblin on the bridge and the New Yorkers are throwing trash at Green Goblin. Yep, yep. He's like, this is New York. You fight with one of us, you take with all of us. He kind of had like that moment, but he also has that moment where like the older black man tells him like, man, that's Black Falcon. And the younger guy, even though I think hearing it, it's corny, I still feel like it's needed to say, he says, no, that's Captain America.
Yeah.
Those are two moments that kind of reaffirm him as the hero that he wanted to be portrayed as, that weight that he felt like he was taking. It's getting a little lighter. And then he has that moment with the GRC where he's telling them like, that girl just died for the belief about fighting against you, right? Like, and everything you're doing, you're not right in this situation. She's not right in this situation, but you know, you're both wrong. And you know, I love when the GRC guy tells him, you don't understand. He goes, I don't understand. Like, you know, like, I'm a black man wearing a Captain America fucking outfit. I got the stars and stripes on me. What do you mean I don't understand? I fucking loved it. Loved that whole speech. I think Sam...
I got really emotional. And
Anthony Mackie...
He killed it. Anthony Mackie killed it
with that speech. It almost brought me to tears, but that's not the moment that really brought me to tears.
Really?
It's not. It was a great speech, and it almost got me.
It got me. That's what got me.
He goes back to Bucky.
I was not expecting that.
Kind of all say their goodbyes. He promises that Sharon's going to get the pardon that she deserves and stuff like that. Everybody goes away happy, and we start doing the wrap-up for everybody's stories here. We're now wrapping up everybody's stories. Mm-hmm. So we'll start with John Walker's wrap-up. He comes out to Desfontaines, Dreyfus, and shows her his new black outfit. And she tells him, the world's a dark place, and we're going to need... You know, you're going to have to go to some dark places. So he's wearing this black outfit. He's the black Captain America, not black in skin, obviously black in tone, black in and the world doesn't always need a Captain America. Sometimes it needs a U.S. agent. And we know that that's true because in Captain America, the Winter Soldier, when they go on that S.H.I.E.L.D. ship to save the S.H.I.E.L.D., Cap wasn't let in on all of what was going on that ship, on what Black Widow, right? It was more of a black ops operation, mm-hmm. and Cap had, his morals are too high to do what Nick Fury wanted to be done on that ship. Right. However, John Walker does not have the same moral compass.
Correct.
So therefore, he is more of an agent.
Yeah, he's like a typical spy. He's a typical, you know, CIA agent type of guy.
And where does he go from here? I don't know whether we're going to do the Dark Avengers that we got at post-Secret Invasion or whether we're going to do the Thunderbolts. I hope for Thunderbolts because Thunderbolts leaves us open for a little bit more Zemo.
Mm.
And I'm hoping for some more Zemo because in these two episodes, we didn't get a whole lot of Zemo. The only thing we got from Zemo was in episode 5 when Winter Soldier refuses to kill him and allows the... allows the Wakandans to take him to the raft. They're the ones that escort him to the raft, and now he's imprisoned on the raft where everybody was imprisoned.
Yeah, he's a fun character. I was really, Civil War, really happy to see how much he played a part in the series.
His part's not done yet because the Flag Smashers are also going to be transported to the raft.
Sure.
Until a mysterious butler, who we saw in like episode 2 or 3, Zemo's butler, planted a bomb and kills the rest of the Flag Smashers. And word gets back to Zemo that his plan succeeded. And Zemo had the rest of the super soldiers wiped out. If there's one thing Zemo's good at, it's fucking capping super soldiers and making sure they don't exist.
He's good.
He's good at it.
And he's got a lot of resources and power.
Absolutely. So so that's our wrap up with Zemo. That's our wrap up with John Walker. Bucky goes back to tell the old Japanese gentleman that he did kill his son. The Japanese gentleman doesn't look like there's a forgiveness given to him, but at least there's an acceptance of what happened, and Bucky gets to cross the final name off of his list for making amends. And he kind of moves on. And I think like that's the end of Bucky's arc, essentially. You know, he can move on from the darkness that he felt from being the Winter Soldier. However, I don't buy it. I think it was a little rushed towards the end. I don't think it was really well done. However, it's a closing and they needed to get there. They opened that arc and they had to close it. And then finally we get the end of Sam's arc, where he goes back to Isaiah and kind of tells him like, you were wrong, you know? The world maybe is ready for a black Captain America. Isaiah's not 100% convinced, but he kind of like taps him on the shoulder and says, get dressed. I want to take you somewhere. And he takes him to Captain America's Smithsonian wing and shows him that there is an entire memorial dedicated to Isaiah Bradley. And
that's where it got you.
The sacrifices that he made. And that's what fucking killed me.
Yeah, that was good. That was really, really good.
Seeing that, I think it was Isaiah Bradley's reaction.
Because it was. He did a great job.
He's been a stiff, upper-lipped guy where it's like, don't pity me, but don't fucking come in here and tell me how things should be or how things are done. I'll tell you how.
He was tortured for so long. Yeah,
exactly.
He did a great job in this series.
When he is left speechless and then walks up and just hugs Sam,
yeah,
and I was like,
his eyes all welled up.
It's the most Captain America moment I've ever fucking seen without Captain America in it. I loved it. Absolutely loved it. And that
without Steve Rogers,
that's
not Captain America.
Not Captain America. Rick, Sam is Captain America. Yeah. We're gonna be getting a whole movie with Sam as Captain America.
Yeah, I can't wait.
And that's,
I didn't like the little stocking thing that's on his head, which I know is very comic accurate. That was my only gripe with his outfit was that mesh like neck liner thing. I'm like, you know, I could get rid of that. And just keep the goggles. You look badass. Perfect, perfect.
So,
but it was really cool.
We get an after credits scene, and we know that Sharon Carter is now completely pardoned, just as Bucky was and Sam was, and everyone else in the story had been pardoned. And she is now allowed back on U.S. soil, but that doesn't mean she's given up being the power broker. In fact, they give her old job back in the CIA, which is what she was doing during Civil War. And
which would never happen.
No, which would never happen. But she makes the phone call and says, like, I will now have access to superpowers, to superheroes, to super weapons. We're still in business. In fact, business is fucking booming, baby. And that's our hook for moving forward, which I was very disappointed with.
It was terrible.
I wanted Thunderbolt Ross to go into the raft and release Zemo and tell him that he's been selected for the Thunderbolts program.
I don't know. But
I think with a Suicide Squad coming out, I don't think MCU wants to dive into the same realm as DC and do a Thunderbolts. Because essentially, the Thunderbolts are villains acting as heroes being led by.
Yeah.
So it's possible that
they
want to avoid that.
I mean, are we ready for that yet? I don't know.
I don't know. But we do get a little more of Eli Bradley, who will go on to be Patriot, like I said, in Young Avengers, along there with Isaiah Bradley. But where they end this, I think they closed off Sam's arc very well. For everybody else, I think they kind of dropped the ball on it. I think this last episode was extremely rushed. I think 6 episodes probably wasn't enough to tell the story.
It was not, and I was fearing that going into this series because I thought I was surprised to see 6 episodes, especially with the first couple episodes and seeing how much they have going on within this world.
Yeah.
How the fuck is this all going to work in an arc properly for all these different kind of characters and story arcs as
well. It wasn't satisfying enough for everybody.
No, no.
But the main character, Sam, had the most satisfying
ending. The most important one, too. And obviously, he was. And it, you know, I think mainly it was his journey, but also his journey had the most potential of proper closure and arc. And it was great. It was fantastic. I loved so much going on with it. You know, my grade, I think, is a B or B plus for the series as a whole. I think ultimately, you know, this one, I think, had a lot of potential. It had a lot of great parts and a lot of great moments. And like I told you, I think my favorite part was.
But just like WandaVision, I feel like they dropped it at the end.
Well, yeah.
Well, the sixth episode has the most action, has the most going on. I still think that they in the sixth episode, just like they did with WandaVision, they're stuffing 10 pounds of shit into a 5-pound bag.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. And it's interesting of the flavors, how different WandaVision was compared to this, and how this was a little bit more normal, quote unquote.
I'm at an A- for it, by the way. Okay. So, I mean, like, I'm not too far off from you.
And, you know, I think some people some people are a lot more divisive with WandaVision, right? You either love it or hate it, kind of. I mean, a lot of people didn't like it or didn't go with the flow with it. It had its thing, you know, it's a weird niche, but it's only revolved around one character and her issues, and that's still to be continued, perhaps. But these guys, I think, you know, it was a transition. I think this is a big phase transition going into, you know, many other movies, many other TV series is going forward within this world.
For sure, yeah.
So that's exciting, and I think, you know, it wasn't a perfect series. It had a lot of good shit in there that you can get from, and I had a good time with it, and it was a fun...
I think this sets up the rest of the MCU in a different way, where, sure, like, previously, Hydra, you know, was one of the big bads for Captain America. Now, like, these flag smashers are now gone, so we know that, like, moving forward, the power broker and other things, like, I think it's setting up a different aspect of the MCU than WandaVision. While WandaVision was setting up more of like the multiverse, the magical realm, this is now setting up more of that geopolitical realm that is going to be moving forward in the MCU. Yeah. Loki will set up the multiverse more and stuff like that, moving forward and stuff like that. So I kind of, you know, I'm now, after seeing this, while I really enjoyed it, these are my favorite characters in the MCU. I think they dropped the ball towards the end of it. I don't think they wrapped it up enough. I think this probably would have been better as 8 episodes.
I agree. Eight or 10, to be honest, I think, for me. I think they definitely needed more time and patience, especially since they were going, they bit a lot where it takes time to chew on and to digest properly.
We also have to remember that this is a story that they completely changed the story like halfway through.
And that's probably part of the reason
because we were dealing with a global pandemic, and originally the story was dealing with a global pandemic. This Flag Smashers were going to supposedly release a global pandemic that was going to unite the world against a virus and stuff like that. And that's what Cap and Falcon were going to fight against. I'm sorry. That's what Cap and Bucky were going up against, Sam and Bucky. But they had to change it to this super soldier thing and all that stuff. So we don't know what from this show was in that original script, what in the show was in the rewritten script, so that we didn't have to deal with a global pandemic, because enough of us have dealt with a global pandemic for long enough. We didn't need it to echo into this television series as well. Yeah. This escapism, which is ultimately what it was. And it did its job as escapism.
I think so.
And I think it did its job as setting up Sam as Captain America, because
it did a good job with that.
Fucking dude is good at speeches and nothing, you know, like,
it's great.
If Endgame's told us anything about Captain America, when Ant-Man's like, man, he's good at that, he's like, right, I know, he really is. Like, Cap was good at speeches, and so is Sam. And Sam is absolutely at home in the Captain America outfit, whether you like his white stocking Jay or not.
I think it's
great. So that's gonna do it for our breakdown and our review of The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. If there's anything that we didn't touch on in this episode that you think deserved a little bit more time, you can reach out to us on our social medias. You can catch me on Twitter, @SuperMoviePod.
I'm on Twitter, J_SMB, Instagram, Super Movie Bros, and Facebook, Super Movie Bros Podcast.
And of course, I am also on Instagram. You can catch me. That's where I'm mostly at social media wise on Instagram. You can catch me at SMB Dave on there. We are part of a network. We are part of the Age of Radio Podcasting Network. So make sure you check out ageofradio.org there. You can check out all the great shows that are part of the Age of Radio Podcasting Network. And if you go to our page, you'll get a handy little media player that will let you play all the episodes of Super Movie Bros that are available. You can binge Super Movie Bros. I want to thank all of you for listening. Have a great one. Cheers.